program you are about to hear, Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Yetis and simpletons, we have a lot of fun here at the Institute, but unfortunately, the dish has hit the fan. Tonight, on Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, we deal with a subject that we usually avoid, if for no better reason than the fact that we don't wear anything under our lab coats. The subject is children, not sex, but the unfortunate byproduct of sex. You see, we've spouted a lot of ish here at the Funhouse, a lot of lies and garbage. But tonight, I'm telling you the truth when I say that it has finally come to pass that the Pink Man has come for our Yeti children. You think this is hyperbole? You think this is China taking over the world? You think this is Kerry winning the election? It is not. This is an actual court case. A great matriarch of the church, Reverend Mary Magdalene, has had her child taken from her by a real, honest-to-God court as part of a custody case in the state of New York. That alone is not enough to upset me. I've met enough of you subs to know that most of you should only reproduce by recruitment or through radio waves like the Institute does. However, that does not mean that the ones who can and do reproduce should be stopped from doing so. Now, most of the subs that I do know have no business making children, buying children, or being anywhere around children. But this one has chosen to grow her own, and from all reports has grown it exceptionally well. Hell, if most of you had a kid, I would steal it and give it to the state to save it. However, this case is different. Her child has been seized for no greater crime than her membership in the Church of the Subgenius and her participation in X-Day drills. Think about it. If they can use her church membership to take away her child, well, then what can they do to you? What can they do to our hobos at the Institute? If they can take her own homegrown child away from her, then what can they do to the hobos, which are literally the bread and butter of this Institute? I ask you. So tonight, we'll be talking about children and childhood. You'll hear some old favorites and some new favorites. And Bill Burrow's son. Yak, yak, yak. And while you're listening, why don't you head to your favorite web browser and type in rbevilacqua, rbevilacqua .blogspot.com. That's R, Bevel, as in devil with a B, Aqua with a C, blogspot.com. Or, if like our Institute associates, your computer can only go to one website, try subgenius.com/updates/maghelp.html. subgenius.com/update/maghelp.html.
Messenger of- The noble man entices and prostitutes and performs surgery on our weird women. Yes, even your brother could be a victim of his plastic fantasies. And if you weird out his daughter, he'll blast your ass. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Are you freaky with me? What's good for the goose is good for the gander. So you can pluck out his feathers and smile, because you are defending our weird women from the freaky-ass thoughts of the bug-eyed, bow-legged, normal man.
It is easy to stay wrapped up in one's own little world, isn't it? It's easy to say she should have kept her knees together, isn't it? But if every Yeti woman who did the worm with some pink retard was disqualified from the gene pool, we would have died out 15,000 years ago. What you are forgetting, dear listener, is that your mother is a zizh-swilling slut. That's right. Your mother is a load-absorbing baby machine, and that is the only reason you are here now. If you have issues, if this situation makes you unaccountably agitated, then perhaps it is your mother issues which you need to work out. For information on working out your mother issues, visit R. Bevilacqua, rbevilacqua.blogspot.com. Oh yeah, there also might be a couple pictures of her bare butt. And now, more about your mother.
If you have sex in the springtime, you might just make a person.
The beginnings of a baby.
What happens is this. Let's say the man and the woman are lying in bed together.
Because men lie to women in bed a lot. This part often happens in bed because a bed is so nice and comfortable.
The man loves the woman.
Or that's what he says.
So he gives her a kiss. And she gives him a kiss.
And they hug each other very tight.
And after a while, the man's penis becomes stiff and hard.
And much bigger than it usually is. It gets bigger because it has lots of work to do.
By this time, the man wants to get as close to the woman as he can, because he's feeling very loving to her.
Or that's what he says. And to get really close,
the best thing he can do is lie on top of her and put his penis inside her.
Into her vagina.
This is a very nice feeling for both the man and the woman.
Or so she says. He likes being inside her, and she likes him being inside her. Or that's what she says.
It's called making love, or whoopee, because it all starts with the man and the woman loving each other, unless it's an act of commerce.
It's a difficult feeling to describe, but if you can imagine a gentle, tingly sort of tickle that starts in your stomach and spreads all over,
that will give you some idea of what it's like. And as you know, when you're feeling tickly, you wriggle about a bit.
It's just the same here, except it's a special kind of wriggling.
It's easier to understand when you realize that the parts that tickle most are the man's penis and the woman's vagina.
So most of the wriggling happens down there.
The man pushes his penis up and down inside the woman's vagina, so that both the tickly parts are being rubbed against each other.
It's like scratching an itch, but a lot nicer.
This usually starts slowly and gets quicker
and quicker and quicker and quicker as the tickly feeling gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Oh God, oh yeah.
Now you may be thinking, if it's so nice, why don't people do it all the time? There are two reasons. First,
it's very tiring. More than playing football or running or skipping or climbing trees or playing grab ass or almost anything.
Good as it is, you just can't do it all day long.
And the second reason is that something really wonderful happens, which puts an end to the tickly feeling.
And at the same time starts the making of a baby.
When the man and the woman have been wriggling so hard, you think they're both going to pop, they nearly do just that.
All the rubbing up and down that's been going on ends in a tremendous, big, lovely shiver for both of them. Or one of them, if he's selfish.
Again, it's not so easy to tell you what this feels like.
But you know how it feels when you have a tickle in your nose for a long time, and then you have a really big sneeze?
And the mucus goes all over the back of the girl's head? It's a little like that.
At the same time, a spurt of quite thick, sticky stuff comes from the end of the man's penis.
And this goes into the woman's vagina, or whatever.
Well, believe it or not, this sticky stuff is how you and I all started.
It's called semen. And in the semen are sperm.
And they make babies, the end.
And that's why your mother's a slut.
Well, folks, you are now in the womb room. The womb room was built in 1937 by eccentric millionaire Arthur Womb. And Mr. Womb spent a great deal of his time here in this room, and it was commonly reported to be his very favorite place in the house. Visitors, when escorted to this room, would often find Mr. Womb lying on the floor, curled up on his side, with his eyes closed and, well, his knees pulled up to his chest. Occasionally, he would even be found sucking his thumb. Because he spent so much time here, Mr. Womb paid a great deal of attention to the details of the room, and he went through a tremendous amount of effort to make the room as womb-like as possible. As you can see, it's very dark and warm and wet. There are no sharp corners anywhere, and most of the walls are made out of soft materials. And the overall effect is one of peacefulness and safety. Most visitors find it very soothing and comforting, and almost all of them say that they feel a great sense of security here. Indeed, many people are rather reluctant to leave at all. In fact, most of you will find that once you've left here, you'll be filled with an overwhelming sense of loss. And you will find yourself constantly wishing that somehow you could return. And now, if you'll just step this way, please, we'll continue on with folks. Come along, that's right. Sir, could you please get your wife? That's right. Come along this way, and we'll go on to the door.
never not gonna go home. We won't go, we won't go, oh, we never not gonna go phone, 'cause mother isn't home.
Oh, sugar bush, I love you so, I will never let you go.
So don't you let your mother know, sugar bush, I love you so.
Sugar bush, what can I do? Mother's not so pleased with you. Promise me you will be true, and I'll come along with you.
Oh, we never not gonna go home. We won't go, we won't go. We never not gonna go phone, 'cause mother isn't home.
Sugar bush, come dance with me, and let the other fellas be. Just dance the polka merrily. Sugar bush, come dance with me.
Oh, we never not gonna go home. We won't go, we won't go. Oh, we never not gonna go phone, 'cause mother isn't home.
Oh, chocolate, you are so sweet. Yes, yes, you I'd like to eat. If I do, oh, what a treat. Chocolate, you are so sweet.
Oh, sugar bush, I love you so, and I will never let you go.
Now don't you let my mother know,
sugar bush, I love you so.
Sugar bush, I love you so.
If you believe that the circumstances described at rbevilacqua.blogspot.com, that's rbevilacqua.blogspot.com, if you believe that those circumstances make someone a bad parent, then you are scruff in the head. And I humbly submit the following as evidence of far, far worse parenting than most of us have ever known.
It's about a writer who shoots his wife. But one thing that they don't include in the film is that there's me, I'm the son of that union. And my father gave me the same name as him, so I could be Junior, so he could call me Junior. I was born in Conroe, Texas, in 1947, 4:10 a.m. My mother must have been an incredible woman, because during the entire course of my fetal development, she consumed enough Benzedrine daily to kill a buffalo outright. Whereas my father, Big Bill, he took 3 bangs of heroin a day to keep up with her. I was born onto an alfalfa farm in the Rio Grande Valley. The main crop was marijuana. It grew between the rows of alfalfa. My father would make a joke. He'd come up to the hired hand and he'd say, "Hey, Jose, what's that? What are those weeds doing growing in my alfalfa? Ha, ha, ha." We split for Mexico City almost immediately upon the moment of my birth. I don't have any memories of our apartment in the native quarter of Mexico City, except for blue walls along a spiral staircase. Hot droning of locusts that seen through gasoline fumes. The net over my crib beside a White House. Scorpions that battled between the roots of a gnarled tree. These memories, or reconstructed memories, they're flashes. Strobe like. I remember I had never worn shoes a day in my life until a little white rabbit thumped up one of my brown and bare toes and then bit me like a Gila monster. I went crying to my mother. She was soft and warm and pulsing, and not only did I get a set of shoes, but I got a fresh can of beans. I had a half-sister named Julie, full of smiles, tiny naked dancer. She was my mother's daughter, only 2 years older than myself. We would laugh and play together. The first hint of disaster was an impossible mad drive along sudden changing mountain roads. terrifying glimpses of death in the window. Listening to my mother say, ha ha ha, how fast can this old heap go? Me and Julia on the floor in the back in the intimacy of fear. Allen Ginsberg pleading with the driver, slow down, for God's sake, slow down. And then we hit something, and there was a little bit of blood, but not much. My mother, Joan was her name. She had soft brown hair and heart-shaped calves as seen from behind. Mama was tempestuous, to say the least. And that night, at a party in our home, where everyone was plastered and stoned, she put an apple or an apricot or a grape upon her head, or myself, and she challenged my father, who's usually an excellent marksman, to shoot. Accidental homicide. Cause of death, cerebral hemorrhage. Weapon, Colt 45. I have no memory of the apartment or of my mother. The past is a fiction, says my father, and I tend to agree with him. Father arrives, pale and haunted. He takes me to a park. We stand by a fountain, a big one that touches my face with spray. I'm nauseous, but I'm happy. By the water, he unveils his gift. It's a little red boat that runs on alcohol-soaked cotton that's ignited in the stern.
We have to be careful now, he says, as he lights the cotton and the boat treads crazy circles on the water.
But my eyes are on the three teenagers who are staring at us from the other side of the fountain. They have greased back hair and they're laughing at us, and I'm afraid of them.
La 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 la
first two times my father arrived for a visit were very exciting times, driving to his hotel. He never stayed with us, but he favored the less expensive places at the beach end of Worth Avenue. Both times I arrived, he was standing in the hallway locking his door, me running to greet him into his arms, "Daddy!" And he smelled of cigarette smoke. He would come over for dinner. There was a general conspiracy in the family to convince me that Bill was an explorer, probably because of his South American sortie for Yage. You know, Yage? The third time he came, however, everything was different. I met him at the door with a ready embrace, but instead I encountered an uncertain handshake. I was 12 years old then. Imagine the scene. Stouffer's restaurant overlooking Lake Worth. Bill telling a story about the little monsters that lived downstairs from him in Paris. It seems that they'd cut their cat's head off using a garden shear. Bill found this most amusing. He was totally involved in his story, snapping his fists together in front of his face to demonstrate the action of the shears. Needless to say, my grandparents weren't very impressed by this, and he left the next day. But in the times between his visits, I was well brought up and cared for. I went to Palm Beach private school with Kellogg's and Dodge's and Post's. I once knocked Winnie Rockefeller onto his fat little ass, and my knuckles are still glinting because of it. When I turned 14, my father wanted me back. He was living in Tangier, Morocco at the time. So we arrive at the parade bar, and all these people who were going to hang out at our place in the Marshan arrive to shake my hand. An unaccustomed attempt at fatherly pride on the part of my father, and then I was alone in a park being accosted by an aging fag. I know I haven't lost my figure, darling. All the old tangerines knew you were coming, and we wondered what you looked like. Well, baby, if you ever want to get... Well, I know you... I told him that I would tell him if it ever came to that, and I mean to say that the old fart was definitely not my type. And then after some rum and some dinner, we took another ride to our place in the Marshan. Inside, total disorganization. My father knew I was coming, but still he had to search the place with a flashlight to find a place for me to sleep because something had happened to the electricity. "Wait for Ian," he said. And then Ian came home and fixed the electricity by going outside and hitting a power pole with a broomstick. Needless to say, I didn't sleep well that night. And I beg you to remember that the last time I had slept was on a mahogany bed and in Palm Beach. When I woke up the next morning, I saw Ian sitting on the foot of my bed, staring at me like a loving mother. And then we talked for a while, and then ever so gently, he took my hand and tried to draw to his groin. I pulled away. The attempt was premature. He didn't take it as hard as that old swish in the parade bar. And we were all friends that night when him and my father lit up their pipes, long pipes with clay bowls. And that night I had my first draw on the celebrated medicinal herb. Problem is, in Morocco, so many people smoke dope that they mix it with this tobacco that makes galois taste like ambulance oxygen. But luckily enough, my father had some tasty little hashish candies, of which I consumed quite a number of. And I can't even remember the onset.
Wild, like a hyena, gunmanic. Let's I've been in dimple. Now I'm fully converted. I'm heavily perverted, like I want to have sex with a mutant ibex. Want to whack my wok in the nearest pond. Want to stick my spear in a stingray's ear. Now my mother got jealous of my new bad fella. Started thinking an argument. She said, son, you're bent. So I said, yeah! She said, don't want to cause offense, but you're making no sense. I said, yeah! She said, don't want to cause friction, but where's your addiction? I said, yeah! She said, express yourself another way. We're done at your MTA. So I shot her. As the blood spilled from her vest, she said, diet body for necrophilia.
They beg your money, they ask for more. They'll take the car to home at four. Stay out at night with friends, get high. You ask about it, they'll tell you lies. Spectrum kids whip their behinds. Teach them a lesson that'll stick in their minds. They skip school and waste their time. Chances are they'll turn to crime. Kids these days grow up too fast. Take off your belt and whip their ass. Spank your kids, whip their behinds. Teach them a lesson that'll stick in their minds.
Rooftops are by custom the woman's province in Tangier, and I made the mistake once of going up there during the day, and the Arabs threw little pieces of mud at my door for a week after that. But Bill would go up there every night and watch the colors of the sky changing. I would go up there sometimes stoned out of my squash to watch him. He would stand perfectly still, right hand always holding a cigarette, and only until it was finally absolutely night would he make the mad rush to the typewriter. There was also an Oregon box in the upstairs hall in which Bill would sit, smoking kiff, and then again, a sudden mad rush to the typewriter. Tangier was still pretty wild then. There was a little cafe on the cliff called the Dancing Boy. Smells of mint tea, hashish, kiff in the air, beautiful music. The violinist would sit cross-legged and play his violin in front of him like a cello. Sometimes we would stay there all night long, dancing and smoking, and then we'd go to at 3 o'clock to some other place, one of the musicians' places, and we'd keep partying until like everybody dropped, and then off to catch the fresh bread that was just being wheeled out of the barrel. To get a little bit of butter. These were pleasant times, but I couldn't make it because I was only 14 years old. And then one day, Ian came into my room, and he was crying, and he said, "You don't want to live in a house full of fags, do you?" And he told me I should go home, so I went home. And from that time on, Laura's mind began to go, and after I graduated, I'd play guitar for her in the sunniest room of our house. They tried to lynch me and burn me and starve me, so I had to come back as Bob Marley and Marcus Garvey. I used to be Malcolm X. They thought they had me putting holes in my chest. Now I'm on the planet as a 1JRS. Now I'm on the planet as a 1JRS. Ugliness continue summer after summer, cause the older generation teaches it to the younger. The trick is to outlive the older generation. Let the old ideas die with the old education. This is not the first time that I came to the planet. Each time I do, only if you can understand it. I came as ISIS. My words, they tried to ban it. Came as Moses. Told people that was lost. I came as Jesus and they nailed me to a cross. Well, they tried to lynch me and burn me and starve me, so I had to come back as Bob Marley. What you say when you got the devil down? What you say when you got the devil's crown? Stay alive, all things will change around. Stay alive, all things will change around. What you say when you got the devil down? What you say when you got the devil's crown? Stay alive, all things will change around. Stay alive, all things will change around.
Billy Burroughs drank himself to death twice and died decades before his father did. Isn't that funny? That's why I let him go on like that. Anyway, let that be a lesson to you about your child rearing. If you do it incorrectly, your child may wind up in front of a microphone telling stories about you. And incidentally, if it's so good, why do they call it rearing? Each their own, I guess. And speaking of that, if you take nothing else from this, if you have no compassion, no empathy, if you don't give a fish, even about your fellow subgenii, then perhaps you can look up from your malaise long enough to take this to heart. Perhaps you can take comfort in the knowledge that there are people, yetis, with real problems. Real court problems. Real Catholic judge screaming at you from the bench problems. And as always, we shall leave it to Devo to remind us of what is really at stake in all of this. We'll be right back.
If you would like more information on the Church of the Subgenius, you could write to them at
P.O. Box 181417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118-1417, or visit them online
at
subgenius.com.
You have heard in the background Deve 2.0, the children's Devo band. Again, I'm not making any of this up. Also in the background, Brian Joseph Davis burned some band albums and then played them. You have heard Butthole Surfers performing Weird Revolution, a slightly modified version of the Hallelujah Chorus performing Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child, the Misfits bashed out Children in Heat, then a little old Lymph Node Institute, How to Make a Baby, Head and Leg sketched out the Womb Room, and then that little slut Doris Day talked about her sugar bush. Then we got into the Bill Burrows Jr. telling his childhood tales of woe. Acoustica performed Kids in America. Chris Miller performed the Pixies parody Mother Banger. The Pink Lincolns put out Spank Your Kids. And then Devo brought us all home with Smart Patrol and Mr. DNA. And it is all about the Yeti DNA, the Pink Man, as his DNA is destroyed by the same pollutants that cause Yeti DNA to thrive, will attempt to steal our children more and more. This is the beginning. If we let this go, well, from where we are right now, we can't even imagine what the bottom looks like. So, speaking of see ya in the gulag, our last number will be a song performed by fake Russian lesbians, produced by a former KGB psyops agent, and they're covering a song by an official enemy of the state who was questioned by both American and British intelligence agencies about his anti-American statements. We'll see you in the gulag, because that's where we are now. Unless you go to R. Bevilacqua, rbevilacqua.blogspot.com, or, if you can't spell, subgenius.com/updates/maghelp.html. There is no other possibility.
There's a club if you'd like to go. You could meet somebody. when exactly do you mean? See, I've already read it to Rome, and now my hope is gone. You shut your mouth.
Can you afford to ignore this promo? Individually, each of us is buffeted by social tidal waves.
Generally powerless except to create peaceful temporary islands of slack with his or her own self, kin, or buddies.
But as one group, collectively acting and moving like one relentless hydra whose parts are not the same,
encircling the world in a monstrous belt of unpredictability,
the world's sub-genie will be immune to the false slack of the Pink Boys and shall overcome the conspiracy.
Our brains are too well-worn, too smudged, and too stained to be completely washed by their insidious
mind-cleaning techniques. We don't worry about the conspiracy driving us crazy because we already are crazy.
We don't worry about the new depression reducing us to barbarism.
Subgeniuses are barbarians.
We seek something better, something for nothing.
Something like Bob's Slacktime Funhouse every Saturday night at 1 a.m. right here on WREK Atlanta.